a great joy to be together as a church this morning. Happy New Year. It's been a while since I've stood up here, so if you don't know who I am, my name's Gail, and it's my privilege to open up God's Word for you today and get us thinking about what it means to worship God in our whole lives. Because we have this summer series while Leon is away, we're doing a short kind of mini-series on thinking about healthy habits. I know some of you might have thought about that in other ways this year. You might be having a no-sugar year or trying to cut down carbs or have 10,000 steps a day or whatever. But we're going to think about habits as well. And it got me thinking, habits are quite interesting things, aren't they? They're often very personalised. My habits would be different to your habits. Sometimes they're very practical. Sometimes it's strange things that we do that we don't realise we're doing them until somebody else maybe observes that in us and says, why do you always do it that way? Different to you. Maybe it's where you put your keys when you come in, or how you eat breakfast, or what you have for breakfast. It might be the routine that you have when you're leaving the house of a morning. Maybe how you do the shopping. Do you go to certain aisles first? I know some people who go through every single aisle. I'm not that organised. Maybe for you there's a big habit on a Sunday about what time church starts, where you get to park, where you get to sit, what kind of songs you sing. And this summertime it's a little bit of a shake-up, isn't it, when our habits are different. These habits help to organise our life, to help us know how just to steadily progress through our days. They help us to function in so many ways. And during this holiday time when so many of those habits might be a little bit changed, we thought it'd be good to remind ourselves of some healthy habits of our spiritual life. Some things that will help us this year develop spiritual patterns and spiritual habits that will help us function and grow. So these few weeks that we're going to look at, I hope will be helpful to you as we start the year. And as we start that, I want to pray that God might speak to us as well. So please join me in prayer. Our holy and gracious God, we thank you for an opportunity to gather today, to worship together, to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that it might be your words that are spoken today. May the things that you want to impress upon our hearts and our spirits be remembered as we leave this place, and by your Spirit, may you encourage us and challenge us to grow more and more like you. Amen. So, is this habit, is this series just a fancy way to make you have even more New Year's resolutions that you're never going to keep past January? New Year's resolutions are often huge goals, aren't they? But so often they are discarded because they're too hard. So I want to say these aren't New Year's resolutions that we're talking about, because thinking about our spiritual habits is good to think about any time of the year. But it is something that we often do in January, where we have some spare time maybe to reflect and reconsider, to rededicate ourselves for the year ahead. For some of you, this year brings a big transition. For others of you, this year might be very similar to last year. We don't know what this year will bring. So my hope is that it's not really about New Year's resolutions. My hope is that it's more about incorporating small and significant changes into your everyday life, that with God's strength and yours and mine, my strength for me, will systematically bring some change into our life. It's about, for me and hopefully for you, inviting God, as it says there, I think, somewhere, to be present in your life every day. It's not big New Year's resolutions. It's just everyday moments. Some of you might have seen this clip going around on Facebook, and I thought it might be a good way to help us think a little bit, and from the mouths of someone quite young, what New Year's resolutions and habits might be like. Got to press the play button. No, go back one. We'll get there. No, back. Press the big speaker.
I have a problem with New Year's resolutions, not because they often fail or because they're too difficult, and not because I'm bad at them either. I mean, I've only been in love for 4 new years. No, I have a problem with resolutions because people think that that's it. It's the one time to change. Now, don't get me wrong, we definitely all need change. I have no idea how to ride a bicycle, and my little brother has no idea what a toilet is for. And some of you, yeah, you probably should get out of the house more. But one big decision probably isn't going to do it. Sorry. So now what? Flush your resolutions down the toilet for one my little brother can't use? Of course not. Keep your resolutions, but go easy on yourself. Will you change? Maybe, but probably won't happen in one big moment. It'll happen in the thousands of little moments. Every time you choose to forgive or slow down or be grateful or stay calm, each little moment that you choose what's right instead of what's easy, faith instead of doubt, love instead of hate, that's where the change happens. Even if you fail 1 or 2 or 30 times, it's okay. You've got thousands of more little moments ahead of you. You'll get better. So happy New Year, God bless, and I'm off to ask my dad to get a bike, if there were a pony. Bye.
Maybe I just should have got her to come and do the sermon. Whoever helped her write that, I think that's right, isn't it? When we think about change, it's better to not just think of one big moment, one big change, but 1,000 little moments, 1,000 little moments of decisions that we make. And that's true in our normal life as well as our spiritual life that we live. It's a good reminder that our change is about progress. Those 1,000 little moments create a habit. And so over the next few weeks, as I said, we're going to look at some of those habits. Maybe not ones that you've always thought about. You might easily think, oh, spiritual habits of the new year. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to come to church more regularly. All of those things, they're good. But we want to kind of expand and maybe look at things from a different perspective. So you can see on in your bulletins what we're going to be looking at. We're going to think about what it means to have a habit of sharing hope. What it means to have a habit where we value community, where we think about what is the good news, where we think about what it means as a habit to admit our weaknesses to each other. And to finish, we're going to think about what it means to have a habit of worshipping in our everyday life. All of these habits will help us this year and help us individually and as a body of Christ here at Macquarie Chapel Presbyterian Church. Think about what it means to live godly lives. Today I'm going to start us off with a habit that I think is kind of the precursor to all of those, and what it means to seek transformation. What it means to actually desire and have a habit of desire for change. One person has talked about transformation as cooperation with God. We do that alongside God's plans for us. Through grace-driven effort, it's not about our own will just pushing us on, but through the grace that's given us by God to change. But it does take effort. Cooperation with God through grace-driven effort to continue the process. The process that started when we first came to faith, and God gave us a new life to continue that process of becoming more like Christ. Transformation, seeking that, having a habit of cooperating with God, asking God to help us, to be part of God's plan, to do that by His grace and to work hard at that by His grace. Our efforts and God's efforts combining. To continue that process that God has already started in us to make us more and more like Jesus. It means that we have a habit that means that we aren't just happy with the status quo of our relationship with God. We're not satisfied with just being the same kind of Christian that we were last year. We're not content to continue year after year with the same attitudes, the same ideas, the same knowledge. We want to actually develop and grow that. On the contrary, we believe that God wants to change us. We don't want to just be the same. God wants to change us, has the power to change us. And so to develop a habit where we say, yeah, God, do that in me. How amazing might that be for all of us individually and as a community? It's true that God accepts us completely already. The Bible says that when we were far away from God, God loved us. So it's not our change, it's not our transformation that makes us acceptable to God. But it does do something about our relationship and our depth of faith. God isn't willing just to leave us as we are. God has a desire that we might grow and develop our faith. He wants to shape and strengthen our character. He wants to clean out the muck in our lives. He wants to rework our values so that they're more aligned to Him. He wants to make us think about what it means for us to be people of God's kingdom, proclaiming His kingdom to the world. He wants to give us wisdom and insight and understanding. He wants to make us more like Jesus. And He wants us to change for the better. And so developing that habit, what a good way to start the year. If you already have that habit, that's great. Just develop it more and more. That process of becoming more like Christ began on the day you first declared faith in God. I don't know, some of you might not have made that step yet. And I encourage you to investigate that and to make that step with God to say, I want to change. I want to be part of your plan. The instant we come to faith, the Bible says that we are justified. We're made right with God. We're adopted into His family. We are sons and daughters of the Most High when we come to faith. And we also enter this new phase that the Bible and others call sanctification, the process of becoming more and more like Christ, that transformation that God intends for all of us to have. And that phase involves our work. The first two phases, being justified, being made right by God, we can't do that. God does that for us. We can't seek adoption from God. God gives us that. But when it comes to transformation, it's something that God and we do together. It takes our work as well. We have to labour and strive and persevere if we're going to experience spiritual change and transformation. And while we're exerting our will and our strength, God is working alongside us, the Bible reminds us, through His Holy Spirit, working within us to transform us. Cooperation with God through grace-driven effort to continue the process of becoming more like Christ. Why would we bother doing this? It sounds a little bit hard. Yes, we've got God helping us, but it takes some effort as well. So why would we make this a habit in our life? I want to suggest that it's the starting point for all other habits. We're not going to change unless we want to change. We're not going to transform unless we seek transformation. If we don't have a habit of asking God to shape us, then we're not going to be aware of what God might be able to do in our life. We're not going to be aware of what it means to share hope and value community and admit that we need each other and we need God if we're not actually seeking to change. It's a reminder that we have to want to grow in our faith. We're not called to be stagnant Christians that never change. That's not God's plan for us. I think it puts other habits in perspective, though, too. It's not just about our self-will or legalistic will of doing things that are going to make us more acceptable to God. Seeking transformation reminds us that we're in this partnership with God together. And as I suggested just then, it reframes our obedience to God away from legalism, away from a set of to-do lists and things that we have to do for God to be happy with us. It helps us not see our faith like that, but instead to see it as cooperation with God, partnership with God and with each other to change. Why should we do it? I think it's important. God tells us to do it, so we should probably do it too. He wants us to do it. But it will be hard and there will be stumbling blocks. And I know for each of you, you might have different stumbling blocks. I have stumbling blocks in this. Change is hard. None of us really, some of us maybe, I don't know, but change is hard and scary for most of us. Some of you, this year is a big year of change. You might be moving, you might be seeking a new job or starting a new job, going to a new school, going to uni, coming out of the workforce, figuring out what it means to live with a new family dynamic. Those things are hard, and so is our faith sometimes. Changing, developing things can be hard because it means that we have to address and tackle our desire just to be comfortable. We have to be aware of the fear of the unknown. We have to be careful about our pride. Our willingness to change might include saying to God and to each other, I've been doing things wrong. We have to own our own weaknesses in that, and that's hard to do. For some of us, me particularly, I'm a pretty good procrastinator. And so I can put change off for a long time, right? For some of us, it's that inertia that we actually need to come to God and say, you know, I want to say kick me, you know. Give me a push, God. Sometimes that's hard to do. And our own natural desire is not to change. I think one of the big stumbling blocks, and maybe one that we don't think about as much either, is that this is a spiritual battle. The evil one definitely does not want us to become more like Jesus. The world doesn't want us to become more like Jesus. And we're involved in a spiritual battle here. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be discouraged. And yet the Bible reminds us that we have the most powerful God cooperating with us to change. How amazing is that? And when you feel that you're in the midst of a spiritual battle, call on God to remind each other that we have God's power working within us to change, to pray significantly and directly about that. Be an important way that we address these stumbling blocks. So what does the Bible say? I've chosen Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I could have chosen many passages to remind us about what it means to change, but this is one of my favourites, and because I could choose the passage, I chose it. It reminds us, doesn't it, of what it means to change. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, or our version of the NIV that's in our pews would say the author and perfecter of faith. If you read through this verse, it's a call to develop a habit of transformation, to seek transformation. There's a direction that we're called to go, to make it a healthy habit, to grow in Christ, to cooperate with God in this. We can see that transformation involves a number of different things through this passage. First of all, it involves us focusing on Jesus. It might be the last bit of verse 2, but I want to talk about that first, because if we just go running without some sort of direction, we'll just get nowhere necessarily. It's good to actually have an idea of where you need to head. And so transformation involves this focusing on Jesus. If we're going to become more like Christ, then we better know who Jesus was. If we're going to become more like Jesus, we should actually understand who Jesus was, his character, how he responded to people, what it meant for him to bring about his kingdom. It's not about us. Your transformation not to eat sugar or whatever might be about your own health. In some ways, those New Year's resolutions are so often just about our own life. But our seeking transformation is about something much bigger. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and Jesus' plans for our whole world that we're a part of. Jesus is both the pioneer or the author. He's the one that starts it all, and he's the one that perfects it, our faith. We are participants in it. We're running the race. It's not just happening to us without any sense of ownership or involvement. But in the end, it's through Jesus that we're saved. It's through God's work with the Holy Spirit that perfects us. The writer of Hebrews starts their letter, if you remember back to 2015 when we looked at it, reminding us of this. The writer of Hebrews says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Jesus is the centre of our life, of history, of our world. Jesus told his disciples on the night of his arrest that even though he was going, his Spirit would be given to them. He was going to continue that transforming work that he had started with them. And so we see here that this is a Trinitarian effort. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit invested in us, invested in you to change. We focus on God. We focus on the person and the work of Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, and coming again. We look at that, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we run and transform. We let go and we throw off, the writer says here, everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. I guess you may have seen photos of people doing exercise where they kind of tie a tire to them or something really heavy and try to run, maybe up sand dunes or something. Maybe you've done it yourself. I never have. It looks too hard to do. That might be good if you're trying to build up your muscle mass. It's a good exercise to do. But if we try to do that with faith, it's really hard to run with all this extra baggage. Baggage that the Bible says are things that we accept, we do, that aren't the ways that God wants us to live. The writer of this book calls us and calls their readers to throw off the things that we get caught up in life that stop us transforming to be more like Christ. The things that entangle us, the weights that stop us from running freely, running a life of faith with energy and purpose. We're to throw off what hinders and entangles us. Sometimes they might be good things, but they're things that take our priority away from Christ. It doesn't mean that we give up everything in life. We're not supposed to be hermits, but we have to think about what we do and the impact that it has on our life and our faith and our relationships. Not only do we do that, but it takes perseverance to do that. These verses say, it says, "Let us run with perseverance." Transformation and developing that habit, it can be hard, it can be discouraging. We can so easily choose our own way instead of God's way. We have to recalibrate all the time our direction and our focus. We need to persevere, and to do that, we need each other to encourage each other, to say, keep on going, keep on running. We need to do that in relationship. These verses start with that great reminder that we have a cloud of witnesses. In this book, it's a cloud of witnesses from the history of Israel. But also we have a cloud of witnesses here as well, people that might actually help us develop this habit together. It reminds us that we're connected to the past and the present and the future through our faith in God. We're connected to each other whether we like it or not. So we might as well use each other as an encouragement. We're not alone. Some of you might be starting this year feeling very alone. We're not alone. We have God and we have each other. And this habit of transformation, all of these habits, we need each other to do them. Through grace-driven effort with each other, becoming more like Christ individually and as a community. Let's spur each other on in these habits. So what can we do? I want to finish with just suggesting three practical things. Each sermon that we have in this series, we're going to suggest three practical things that you might do in the month ahead. And my hope is that we'll print them on our launch Sunday as well. For those who don't make it here every Sunday, or for those who have been on holidays, just for those of us with bad memories, to be reminded of some practical things that we might do to develop these habits in our life. So what can we do to help us focus on Jesus? I want to encourage you in the month ahead, there we go, to read one of the Gospels. It doesn't take that long to do. If we're going to be focused on Jesus, if we want to develop that habit, then we should know about Jesus. People say they don't have the truth or the time. They don't have the time to read the Gospels, but in truth, everybody does have some time. It's simply a matter of our priorities. You might want to do it together with somebody else. You might want to listen to it. You might want to read it quickly. You might want to spend a long time reading. To give you an idea of how long it might take at an average reading speed, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, will take you about an hour and a quarter to read. The book of Mark, 46 minutes, it says, this is what I found on the internet, very precise, 46 minutes. Luke, an hour and 18 minutes. John, an hour and 3 minutes. For comparison, you could read the book of Matthew in about as much time as it takes the tea break and the lunch break in a test match. You've actually got a whole extra day, haven't you? Because we won on day 4. So you could read the book of Mark in the time, well, you maybe need to listen to it, in the time that it would take you to drive from here to the airport on a good day. You maybe be able to read it or listen to it about 3 times on a bad day. You could read Luke in the time that it would take you to roast a chicken. You could read John in the time it took you to watch 2 episodes of Family Feud. Probably one of those is a better option. You could read any 2 of the Gospels in the time that it took you to see Rogue One, the new Star Wars movie. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do any of those other things, but it doesn't take too long, and I encourage you practically, read a Gospel this month. Just sit down and read the story of Jesus again. You might find things that you had forgotten. You might discover some new things, some new insight. You might rediscover stories of Jesus that you were taught as a young child that you've never looked at. Focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's maybe a harder one. I encourage you to identify a stumbling block. Think about what it might be in your life that's stopping you from developing this habit of transformation. It might be a bad habit of busyness, bad kind of busyness or laziness. It might be more specific things in our life that you're doing that are against God's will. Identify a stumbling block, confess it to God, and then I encourage you to share that with someone else for accountability and for support. Say to someone, you know, when I think about seeking transformation, this always is an issue. I've always struggled with this. Share it with one another so that we can encourage one another and challenge one another in godliness. Confess it to God and cooperate with God that he might change you. And the last one really is to do it together. I encourage you sometime in the next month to pray with someone. If it's someone from our church as a community, that's good, but it might be someone else. It might be someone in your family or a friend. It might be over Skype or through text messaging. It doesn't matter how we pray, but actually intentionally spend a few moments with someone else praying that God might transform us this year. That we will have a habit of seeking change, that we will have a habit of wanting to cooperate with God through grace-driven effort to grow more and more like Jesus. Read a gospel, confess a stumbling block, and pray for one another. In a way, they're not huge things, but they're 1,000 little choices, little moments that might actually impact our lives for God's glory. I'm going to end by reading a prayer, or it's a hymn actually, but I'm going to kind of make it into a prayer, adapt it into a prayer of an old hymn that some of you will know. I don't know if it's in our hymn book actually, but it probably is, by Edwin Orr. He wrote this while he was in New Zealand in 1936. It was a Maori, he heard a Maori farewell song, and then he was so moved by the tune that he came and he wrote four verses seeking God to change him. And so I want to end with this prayer. I've changed it. It's a hymn is written in the first person. I've changed it into third person for all of us so that we might pray as a group. I might lead you in that. So please pray with me this hymn, Search Us, O God. Let's pray. Our holy and gracious God, we do pray that you will search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us, O Saviour, know our thoughts, we pray. See if there be some wicked way in us, and cleanse us from every sin and set us free. We praise thee, Lord, for cleansing us from sin. Fulfill thy word and make us pure within. Fill us with fire where once we burned with shame. Grant our desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take our lives and make them wholly thine. Fill our poor hearts with thy great love divine. Take all our wills, our passions, self and pride. We now surrender. Lord, in us abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival and start the work in us. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, we humbly plead. Amen.